to John's Gospel, chapter 1. John's Gospel, chapter 1. And I want to read from the words of verse 26. We did preach from this chapter maybe a couple of weeks ago, but we're going further into it. And John 1, 26, and we read there of John the Baptist. John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is prepared before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Beth of Araba, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is prepared before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water. Amen. Ending a reading at the words of verse 31. And we know the Lord himself will add his own divine blessing upon it. Bishop Jesse Ryle, the Protestant bishop of the city of Liverpool, of a bygone day, said concerning my text that they should be written in large letters upon the memory of every reader. It certainly is a verse that bears a full testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth. I'm drawing your attention tonight to some words that his forerunner was to speak, that being John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was baptizing at the river Jordan, and he was careful to tell the people that it wasn't he that they should be looking to, but to another who should come. And there was that day in which John was to lift up his eyes, and my text tells us that he saw Jesus coming, and presumably coming towards him and the crowd. And so therefore, minimum, and I draw your attention to a verse which many of you will be familiar with, John 1 and verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which beareth away the sin of the world. In that verse you will see with me his description. He is described as the Lamb of God. Now, if you thought that that description is given just because the Savior is meek and mild, then you will be wrong. Here is a very peculiar description, but it is a description that is illustrative. And it is illustrative because we must go back into the Old Testament scriptures. And of course, was what the people had in John's day. They hadn't the complete canon as we have tonight. They had the Old Testament scriptures. And throughout the Old Testament, this Lamb of God is illustrated. It's illustrated, of course, by Abraham. And you remember how Abraham took his only son Isaac in obedience to God the Father. And he was to take him to Mount Moriah. And Isaac commented on the way, Father, we have the wood, we have the fire, but where is the lamb? Where is the sacrifice? Abraham was to answer, God will provide himself a lamb. That's illustrative of the one that is found in our text tonight. It is illustrated also by the morning and evening sacrifices, those sacrifices that the people brought even to the temple, those sacrifices that were slain, and they were slain on account of the people's sin. Here is the one who is illustrative of those sacrifices. It is illustrated, of course, also by the Passover lamb. And that lamb that was taken in the land of Egypt on that night, and that lamb was slain, its blood was shed and was applied on the doorposts and the lintels of the home. And the family, and particularly the firstborn, were sheltering beneath the blood, where God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Illustrative of the one that is found in our text this evening. Illustrative by the prophecy of the Isaiah. Because Isaiah in chapter 53, he speaks of the lamb being led to the slaughter. Illustrative of the one in our text. But you know, not only is the description illustrative, but it is also identifiable. The person in our text is identified by type and shadow in the Old Testament, but he is also identifiable by his nature, because we know that he became one of us. I've already referenced to you Isaiah 53, verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. We are described as sheep. And you know the nature of the sheep. The sheep is one that will wander. It will get lost. It needs the shepherd's care and the shepherd's provision. Men and women, here in our text of Scripture, we have one who's identifiable with us in our nature, because he's described as the Lamb of God. Because God was manifest in the flesh. He became us. He partook of our flesh and blood, yet without sin. This is one who was sinless, spotless, Lamb of God. Thereby you have the description in John chapter 1, verse 29. Behold the Lamb of God. But furthermore, you also have in our text tonight his deliverance. The Lamb of God, which beareth away the sin of the world. Or, as our text says, taketh away. The same can be said in that sense. You look at your margin, you'll see both terms. Taketh away, beareth away. There is his deliverance. And so while we have a very unique description, we also have a unique work that is described here and that is spoken about here. It's his deliverance. You see, the Savior came. He came to this world to save sinners. He didn't come to this world as a philosopher. He didn't come to this world to set even a good example. He came to this world to save sinners. He came as the Savior. And of course, his name is incorporating that meaning. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's what Jesus means, Savior. Men and women, he came to be the bearer of sin. That's what the Savior did. That's what is taught in this text of Scripture. He taketh away the sin of the world. That means that he's the bearer of sin. Because on that cross, after approximately 33 years of living a righteous life, doing that which was pleasing to God, he was in obedience to go and lay down his life on Calvary's cross. On that cross, he who knew no sin, yet became sin for us. A great transfer was made. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. And Peter brings it out in his epistle, 1 Peter 2, in the words of verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes ye were healed. He is the Savior. Because he is the sin bearer, there's no one else that bore your sin. There's no one else that could bear your sin. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, not only is he the sin bearer, but he was also the bleeding substitute. For on that cross, he took our sin and he made it his very own. And there he received the nails in his hands and in his feet. There his blood was shed. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. The blood was shed in the Old Testament sacrifices of the Lamb. The blood was shed on the Passover night. The blood was shed on Mount Moriah. And the blood was shed, it had to be shed, on Calvary's hill. And John reminds us in his first chapter, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. What can wash away my sin? We've heard it tonight. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Then a woman, young person, I point you in her text to the bleeding substitute, to the one who died in your stead, to the one who took upon himself our sin and was to pay the punishment and the penalty that you and I deserve. And he paid it all. He taken away the sin of the world. You know, those words also can speak to us. That the work is complete. The work is finished. Calvary can never be repeated again. Why? Because Christ has already taken away the sin of the world. He's already paid the price. He's already shed his blood. When all was accomplished, he cried, "Finished." You know, there is in that little phrase the vital scope. The Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Not just dying for the Jew, but also dying for the Gentile. Dying on the cross, paying the punishment for all who will trust him. For all who will take him as Savior. Yea, you in Kilkeel tonight. No matter what your background is. No matter what your religion is. What do you ascribe to? Here's the one, the only one, who can bear away your sin, who can save your soul. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, my verse speaks about his atoning sacrifice. Atoning sacrifice for all who will come. For all who will receive him by faith. And accept him as Lord. My text tells us of the propitiation for sin. That word simply means he turneth away God's wrath. And there on the cross, because he offered one sacrifice for sin forever, God the Father was satisfied, and his wrath against your sin can be turned away. You can know tonight forgiveness of sin. You can know tonight peace with God. You can know tonight assurance of one day being in heaven, which is far better. Oh, my friend, listen to my little text. Behold the Lamb of God. There's his description, which taketh away the sin of the world. There's his deliverance. Do you know it tonight? Have you experienced God's deliverance in salvation? If you're not saved, if you haven't got Christ as Savior, then you're not yet delivered. You're still in the bondage to your sin. You're still in bondage to the devil. That's why we preach to you. That's why we have lived Christ to you. That's why we point you, even in this text that John spoke that day. But you know, there's another thought here, and there is his demand. Because it says, behold, behold the Lamb of God. That's imperative. That's a command. think of this. John the Baptist, as he preached to that people, he didn't point them to the preacher. He didn't point them to himself. He didn't point them to a church. But he said, behold, the Lamb of God. Give attention to him. How important that is. Today, we don't point you to a preacher. Today, we don't point you to the church in the Cardinal Road or any church in this town or in this land or in this world over the internet, but we point you to Christ. Behold, the Lamb of God. How important, because he's the only Savior of a lost mankind. He's the only one that can take away your sin. He's the only one that can save your soul. But you know the demand is immediate. Behold, the Lamb of God. The only Savior is the returning Savior. He's a returning King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You might not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but that doesn't matter. He's coming back. You can't change that fact. He's coming back. He's returning as King of Kings. He's returning as a judge of all the earth. You see, Revelation 22 and verse 7, there's another behold. He says, behold, I come quickly. Men and women, do you understand? The Christ we preach is alive forevermore. Having offered that one sacrifice for sin, he ascended back to the Father's throne. He is seated at God's right hand tonight, but he's returning one day. And this old world shall be wrapped up to be no more. And there'll be the new heavens and the new earth. And all who are saved, all who are in Christ, shall reign with him. You see the importance of it now? You see the immediacy of it now, for you to behold, to give attention to the Lamb of God. Therefore, my friend, I say to you in closing, it's time to seek the Lord. It's time for you to seek the Lord. 2 Corinthians 4:4 has another two beholds in it. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Give attention to that. There's the immediacy, even of this invitation, and it's his demand. Behold, the Lamb of God. Behold now. You can't afford to put that off to tomorrow. You're not guaranteed it, or next Sabbath day, or whenever. You're only guaranteed this moment as God in his grace is speaking to your heart by the power of his Spirit. Young person, don't put it off until you think you'll get married or get a good job and all the rest of it. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. Can I illustrate in closing my text of Scripture? There was a steeplejack in Germany. He happened to be working this day upon a church tower, church steeple. That man lost his footing while he did his work, and suddenly he fell from where he was, plunging to a certain death. But you know, that day, that church being in a rural parish, a sheep was to pass that way. It had got out of its field. And at the moment that steeplejack was plunging to his death, that lamb beneath was in the direction of that man's travel. And it broke his fall. That lamb died. The man in shock. He was able to get up to his feet. Only with very minor injuries. And in the days that followed that, it was said that that man told all who came and told all whom he came across. He said, I was saved by a lamb. Are you saved by a lamb tonight? You can only be saved by the Lamb of God, on whom John said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Look to none else, but look to Christ. I pray the Lord will bless His word to your hearts this evening, and to the saving of precious, never dying souls. Thank you for coming tonight. Thank you for listening to those in the community. And we'll close just in the closing word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank Thee again for Thy word. We bless the Lord for the everlasting gospel. We thank the Lord for this text. Lord, we pray Thou would write it with those large letters and the hearer of it. Behold the Lamb of God, which beareth away the sin of the world. Pray, Lord, tonight there will be those in the car park and in the streets around about the Cardney Road, the Moor Road. We pray that they might come to experience the Lord Jesus Christ taking away their sin. Pray, Lord, that they will experience the new birth, being born again of God's Spirit, acknowledging that they are the sinner, repenting of that sin, and by faith receiving Christ as their Savior and as their Lord. Oh God, do it, Lord, in many homes tonight, that they might go forth from this night saying, I was saved by the Lamb of God. Hear this our prayer. Accept of our thanks. Part us with Thy blessing. In Thy fear, bind the devil, we pray. We ask these things in our Savior's precious and worthy name. Amen. Amen.